Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the June 16th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick. Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Commissioner Novick is ill, hopes to join us at 3, but will not be here until then. Okay, would you please read the first three items for the afternoon time certain?
Item 695, accept 2015 Arts Oversight Committee report on the Arts Education and Access Fund. 696, establish criteria for assignment of delinquent arts education and access income tax accounts to outside collection agencies. And 697, direct the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services Revenue Division to report on options for a permanent resolution to the issue of the 5% cost limitation on administration of the arts education and access income tax.
Okay, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to welcome and invite to come forward our honored guest today, Stan Pankin, the Arts Oversight Committee Chair, Nancy Helmsworth, who can come forward, also a member of the committee and a Portland Public School art teacher, and Craig Gibbons, who is a Arts Oversight Committee member and Executive Director of the Multnomah County Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. Have you already blessed our budget, or is that still in the works?
The budget is blessed. I'm sorry that you weren't there. Yeah. It was a good session.
Thank you. And, Mayor, I have some comments that were prepared, and Stan abruptly told me I could dispense with this because he's going to take over from this point, walk us through the run of show, and then lead us forward. So, Stan, welcome.
Wow. And I don't want your job, honestly. So, good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Before we get to the report, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun. Not that the report itself isn't fun, but we are going to kick off with a little video that's a sample of the kind of activities that are going on across school districts across the city. So we have, when school year over, we have a little video of a music program that's happening in the Sacramento School in the Park Rose School District. This is a ukulele concert. It doesn't get any cooler than that. So with that said, let's see if we can...
That was wonderful. The only possible thing that could top that is if there were school kids to give us a live presentation.
Well, maybe we can make that happen. We shall see.
All right. I listened to this for an hour while I was trying to put it into PowerPoint. I could give you.
So I just want to say that prior to the arts tax, one full-time music teacher served all four elementary schools in Park Rose. Now each school has one full-time teacher. The tax also leveraged additional investment by the school district. This past year, $12,500 in district funds were allocated for the purchase of musical instruments. Next year, that amount will double to $25,000. So the arts tax, as you can see, it also serves to leverage additional dollars. So that's really great stuff. So now what you alluded to, Commissioner Fish, I'd like to bring up some school kids from Capitol Hill Elementary, third graders, who have a little something to say to you. So, kids, great. Come on up. They're going to introduce themselves.
Come on up. Welcome.
You could come up here. Don't be afraid of them. They don't.
Yeah, we're not that dangerous.
Hi, girls.
Hi, ladies. How are you? So yeah, you can face that way, and that way it'll be on television. Watch you there.
Hi, my name is Bobby. I go to Capitol Hill School and just completed
Hi, my name is Kaylee, and I go to Capitol Hill School and just completed third grade.
Hi, my name is Anaya, and I go to Capitol Hill School and just completed third grade.
We want to give you a gift. We want to give you a gift as a thank you for supporting the art tax.
Because of the art tax, our school now has a full-time art teacher.
We get to go to art class 1.5 times a week.
As third graders, we study the graders' reports. So in art class, we connected that study to learning about Joseph Stella and his Brooklyn Bridge theory.
I abstracted the steel bridge.
I abstracted the St. John's Bridge.
I abstracted the St. John's Bridge.
I abstracted the St. John's
Bridge. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job. Very much.
Oh, so these are a series of note cards with four bridges for everyone up
here. Wow, thank you very much.
Very much.
Beautiful.
I'll give one to Carla, too, if she, our clerk, council clerk.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know I was getting that, too.
That's really nice. Oh, yes, thank you. He will really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Great stuff. Thanks.
Nice job, ladies. Appreciate this very much.
So after that, you really don't want to hear this report, do you? Move on.
Oh, these are great.
Okay.
So I appreciate that you you chose the bridges of our city as the subject of your artwork. So we actually have an official city gift that we give to people. You know, when we have a ceremonial occasion, some mayor of our sister city from Sapporo or somewhere like that will come visit us. And so it's normal protocol to have an official city gift. So we actually have a city tie and a city scarf with the image of the Tillicum Crossing woven into the fabric. And so we also believe that our bridges are a great symbol of our city and a great subject for art. So nicely done. Thank you very much. Good job. Let's hear it for these artists.
Okay, I guess we have to go on with the report.
Have to follow that. Yeah. Good luck.
So the AOC is pleased to report, make its third annual report to you guys up there. Of the Arts Education and Access Fund, the AEAF. I just want to note that this will be my last presentation as I am stepping down from the committee in December. And I also just want to do a shout out to another committee member, Mark Wibold, whose term had expired after 3 years last December, as mine had, but we both kind of made a blood oath that we would stick it out one more year because we wanted to make sure that the committee was moving forward on its work, looking at the quality of education, not just the numbers that we will be talking about today. So that's a real focus going forward. I'm also happy to say that we're presenting this report today with the question of the legality of the arts tax lifted after the recent decision by the appeals court. So we're happy to move forward without having to think about that anymore. I am going to dispense with the history of the arts tax, which you will see in your report. I think you all know the history of it and what the context is. I do want to say a few words, though, about the actual committee and a little bit about our meetings. So we started out with 20 diverse community members in December of 2012, December 19th to be exact. And through 3.5 years now, we've had some attrition, and we're down to 16 members after one recent resignation. Moving forward with more resignations or term expirations coming up this year, I just want you to be aware that it's important that we look for more people. And I'm kind of concerned about the committee getting too small and not having a diverse representation from across the city. So that's something I think the committee as well as the city should focus on in this coming year. I do want to recognize our four recent people who joined the committee this year, and that's Shamika Ansley, Amy Baggio, Neil DuPont, and Dunya Jennings. I don't think any of them are here today. A quick word about our meetings. This past year,
there is one here.
We have somebody here.
Oh, hi. Oh, you did make it. Hi. Great.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So this past year, we scheduled three full committee meetings, and we've had, I believe, three or four metrics meetings. There'll be one more meeting this year coming up in October. In the past years, we've spread some meetings around to different parts of the city. This year, we've had all our meetings at the RAC conference room, as that seemed to be a good venue and convenient for many people. But going forward, we'd like to, again, get some of our meetings out into the community rather than just having them here in the city. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say a few words about that. I do want to acknowledge with great appreciation the help, guidance, and administrative support provided by the Revenue Division, led by Thomas Lanham, Terry Williams, Scott Carter, and Megan Furtal. RAC has also been an integral partner in our work, and we wish to thank Eloise Damrosch, Jeff Hawthorne, Marna Stalkup, and Maya McFadden, who between them have attended all our meetings and offered valuable input and guidance, all our full meetings and our metrics meetings as well. So a real good shout out to them. Lastly, but just as importantly, we appreciate the collaboration with the six school districts that have attended many of our meetings. We will now move on to the nitty-gritty of the report. I will present the revenue information. Nancy will talk about the schools. Craig will talk about RAC. And then I will talk about our recommendations and a few closing comments. So first, the revenue division. The revenue division continued to be a major source of information and provided complete updates on all aspects of the tax at every committee meeting and in between. A little bit about the tax year 2015. While it is still too early in the 2015 filing season to forecast revenues, early indications are that 2015 will be the best year yet in terms of payment compliance. As of May 27, 2016, over 230,000 Portlanders had filed their tax returns and paid over $8.1 million. This is more revenue than any other year at the same date in the prior 3 years. I want to give you a quick snapshot of the data from revenue. So if you look at the slide, the net tax collections for 2015 were $8,149,000. The net revenues were about $7.6 million, and since disbursements have not yet been made, there was a balance in the fund of $7.5 million. So that's pretty straightforward numbers. I just want to talk a little bit about the revenues tax year 2015 outreach to taxpayers. They included sending email reminders to over 142,000 taxpayers, sending paper tax forms to all taxpayers and households that had filed in a previous tax year. They made the arts tax form available in 10 languages in addition to English. The arts tax return is now available in leading tax preparation software products like H&R Block and TurboTax. And revenue received an $8,350 grant from the Office of Management and Finance to enter into agreement with Elders in Action for assistance and outreach in the elder community. So a quick snapshot of what has happened over the 3 years of the arts tax. So again, if you look at the numbers just briefly, for revenues through April 30th, 2016, there were total revenues of $27,500,000, with net revenues amounting to $24,635,000. $24,635,000. Total school disbursements were a little bit over $20 million. Disbursements to RAC were about $4.2 million. So total disbursements, again, as of April 30th, 2016, were $24.5 million. Let's talk a little bit about the expense cap. The tax ordinance stipulates that administrative expenses should average no more than 5% of gross revenues collected over a period of 5 years, not including the first year startup expenses. The first year expenses were 3.9%. Tax years 2013 and 2014, however, the total expenses were 8.8% and 9.8%, respectively. As additional revenues are collected, tax year 2013, 14, and 15 percentages are expected to fall somewhat, but not likely to hit the 5%. The combined three-year average cost is currently 7.5%, 2.5% above the stipulated level. As we noted in our two previous reports, we cannot know if the 5% cap could be maintained. As revenue continues implementing new features of the tax, such as receiving taxpayer data directly from the IRS, we expect revenues to increase. This will lower the cost percentage over time, but we are currently doubtful that the 5% cap can be met. Thomas will speak more to this shortly, but I want to briefly outline some proposed city resolutions addressing that issue. So I'm going to outline two resolutions that you'll be hearing more definitively about shortly. The Revenue Division has worked diligently to identify those individuals who are subject to the arts tax and to collect from those who have not paid in various tax years. To fulfill its duty to collect revenues, the Division is seeking a City Council resolution to engage outside collection agencies to begin a collection process for delinquent taxpayers who are at least 1 year overdue in the amount of $100 or more, with a final demand letter to be sent allowing the taxpayer at least 30 days to respond. Number two, in addition, due to the anticipated difficulty in meeting the five-year 5% administrative cost cap, a figure that we question in our first annual report as likely being unrealistic, the Division is seeking a City Council resolution to direct the Revenue Department to report on options for the permanent solution to the 5% five-year average expense cap. It should be noted that the originally conceived 5% cap was based on projected revenues of $11 to $12 million. Due to changes made by City Council in the first year relating to exemptions and minimum income requirements, revenues have decreased, thus increasing the administrative cost percentage. It should be further noted that compelling the Revenue Division to strictly adhere to the 5% cap would be counterproductive. It would reduce staffing and other efforts, which would have the consequence of decreasing the ability to maximize revenue collections. The AOC recommends that the City Council adopt these resolutions. Finally, we wish to note, as we have previously, that under a short startup time frame and with the subsequent issues and changes that took place, the Revenue Division did an excellent job. The Division has been open, transparent, and always receptive to questions and concerns from the AOC. The Division addressed our recommendations to expand outreach in more languages that now number 10, and its continuing efforts to further expand outreach services. Finally, and very importantly, the tax return can now be filed through multiple software products on the market. We will now, Nancy, move on to our school report.
Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Do you have my name or do I need help? Nancy Helmsworth? Okay.
Thank you.
And where do you teach?
I'm at Capitol Hill School.
Got some good students there.
I know, they're super smart.
You noticed.
The Metrics Committee continues to monitor the arts tax monies as they are apportioned to each district, auditing how the money is spent for the arts teacher FTE per student. We individually and as a group review the data collected from the districts, and the narrative and the numbers are in the appendices B7 through B12. To look at a broader snapshot of the Multnomah County-wide progress, there's a slide. The first is, this is an example of the form that's sent out to each district.
Yep.
Okay.
And here is a sample.
And here's an example of what you'll look at when you look at the reports that are in the appendices.
This is Centennial School District, and the three graphs show the ratio of teachers to kids. You can see that it dropped precipitously in the first year of the tax and has remained pretty stable since then. The second chart is grades 6 through 12, and you can see that our work has had an impact there. The arts tax has had an impact there as the ratio has decreased. Then the large chart is just the current year, K-5 student per arts teacher. And the solid line is 500, and every school but one met that standard. So that's what the charts show. And then?
The countywide chart.
Yeah.
Okay, in the countywide chart, which of course would take a few minutes to really look through all the numbers, we want to point out that you will find from the base year, which is the pre-arts tax year, to this school year, there's been an increase of over 60 teachers. We went from 31 teachers to 91 teachers at the K-5 level. We're also pleased to point out that an additional 8 teachers were hired this school year. So as a county, we have continued to improve our numbers from year to year. And at our base year, the ratio of teacher to student was 1 to 1,000 students, 997. And this year, it's 1 teacher to 380 students. Clearly, the 1 to 500 ratio has been successfully achieved for the past 3 years. Our primary focus has been to monitor the implementation of the AEAF for the K-5 students, but part of the IGA agreement specified that the school districts would support and continue the education begun at the elementary level. This year, our first arts tax students have completed 7th grade. Next year, as a committee, we'll be looking more closely at the arts FTE offered in the middle and the high schools in support of that IGA intention of arts offerings being available to the students as they progress in school. Now that these mechanics of gathering and monitoring the money data are in place and have become routine, we're looking deeper into the impact of the arts tax. We know the numbers, but what does it look like in the classroom and for the children? In our discussion as a committee, we have suggested that each school district make a state of the arts report annually. Such a public report would no doubt be an effective internal status taking, as well as give us an informative window to view the positive efforts and outcomes resulting from the AEAF, information that's not obvious in our audit form. For instance, in a state of the arts report, we would hear about when the arts tax passed, Portland Public resurrected a dormant position of TOSA, teacher on special assignment. Someone who has their full job is full assignment is to support the teachers in the arts, meaning it was an arts subject area TOSA, and that shows PPS's commitment for the arts tax implementation and to support the IGA agreement for scope and sequence development at the K-12 level. This year, a K-5 visual arts team spent over 200 hours writing their new standards aligned with the new National Core Art Standards. That was in addition to their teaching hours. They defined program mission and goals and developed curricular resources for their fellow arts teachers. This development agenda continues this summer with the K-5 music teachers writing standards and with the K-5 dance teachers writing standards in the fall. They're large tasks that take significant time, but it's a strong example a follow-through on the promise to properly implement the tax. Another example can be found in Park Rose, as Dan mentioned. Between last year and this year, they have spent and committed $37,500 in support of their music program, and it was the music program that was jump-started by the AEAF funds. While not reported in our metric data collection form, these are noteworthy indicators of district commitment to their K-5 programs, and these are indicators of success. Lastly, the Metrics Committee has plans to further engage with the East Portland Action Plan, and I will look, is that the right? After they voice questions and concern about the AEAF money, how it's used in their community, and a subcommittee has been formed, and Dunya Jennings is the point person for that. That's my part.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
We have a couple more slides here that just show how the arts tax has worked. This is the ratio of K-5 students per arts teacher for each district within the catchment area. And you can see that, except for a couple of the schools, they've made terrific progress in decreasing that ratio. David Douglas was already ahead of the game, it appears, and so was River. This chart looks at it from the other direction. This is the FTE of arts teachers. Base year is in blue again, and then the following years, and there's an increase every year. The third chart over here is the annual increase, which was significant the first year, but has been steady in the last 2 years. So now we want to talk about RAC. All the money is distributed, or the money is first distributed to the school districts, and then the remainder is distributed to RAC. We just want to recap RAC's distribution of its funding over the last 3 years. This first slide, slide 16, I have to preface this. We have two data sets here. One is as of April 30th, the other is as of June 6th. So there is some contradiction in the numbers. But we wanted to get you the most recent numbers we could, the June 6th numbers, to make the report as up-to-date as we could. Some of the old numbers still linger. The numbers on this sheet are as of last week. Shows a total distribution and use of funding for the first three fiscal years of $3.6 million. The second chart shows that some of the funding they have received, RAC has received this year, has been programmed for next year. So that's the $618,000 programmed for next year. Total distribution, $4.2 million, and that ties back to slide number two, receipts for the 3 years. So $4.2 million to RAC. To break that down a little bit, RAC provides two types of grants pursuant to the ordinance. One is operation support, and the other is access for underserved communities. The split is 95-5, and this is the money that has been spent annually on those two different grant programs. The middle chart, you can see that the number of grants has stayed pretty steady. The bottom chart, the math from the first and the second chart, shows that the average grant size has increased over the three-year period. Then the next few slides are detailed slides just to show you what's in the annual report. Here is a detailed list of the equity slides or the equity grants that were distributed. And they vary from about $1,000 to about $5,000. Most of them are one-shot grants. So these are the equity grants. And we really want to study this one closely. I'm just advertising that the chart is in the report. This lists all of the general support grants alphabetically and how much was received each year by the organization. The next chart, which is also in the report, takes the previous chart and sorts it by total grants over the 3 years with the jurisdiction that got the most grant money over the 3 years at the top. And the top three districts, I'll just tell you, are right here. Portland Art Museum, the Symphony, the Opera, Portland Center Stage, Oregon Ballet. And they all got a total of more than $100,000 over the 3 years. So that chart is in there for you to look at, too.
They each received $100,000?
They received over $100,000 total. So if you want to look at data, those are interesting charts to look at. Any questions on the data or the numbers? Okay.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Nope. Great. General recommendations.
Okay. So each year we have made some recommendations, and what we like to do is review our recommendations from the previous year and see what has happened to them. So a review of our 2015 recommendations. Is it up on the board, Craig? I think
yes.
We have a slide for that, I think. So number one recommendation last year was to provide a clear definition of certified arts teachers via an administrative rule procedure. This rule is expected to be completed during 2016. Our second recommendation, provide arts tax or other funding for the Southwest and Ivy charter schools so that they equally benefit on a proportionate basis with the other school districts. This was accomplished with Portland Public Schools providing the funding for 2015-2016 year. City Council has now established via definition in city code that allows these two schools to receive funding in the future. Third recommendation, the school districts and RAC, through its education coordinator, should collaborate towards creating a model program that aligns with recognized national standards for quality arts education and which addresses the concern about FTE allocations. We further recommend that this be undertaken over the course of the following year with a report to be submitted to the Arts Oversight Committee by no later than this time in 2016. To the status of that, through the arts coordinator position, RAC has made excellent strides in meeting with the school districts to provide developmental support. The question of aligning with national standards and measuring quality of education and outcomes is and will be an ongoing process in collaboration with the school districts. RAC has provided reports on its progress on a regular basis during the course of the year. Number four, AOC to add a request for hours of instruction in each arts discipline in its data submission form. After further discussion following this recommendation, the AOC and RAC determined that this information could be better acquired by RAC. In its cadre meetings with the school districts and through surveys, this metric is slowly being developed. Number five, the revenue division should provide projections of revenues and expenses at a time when it becomes viable to do so. The revenue department, then known as the department, now revenue division, has been providing this information as available. Number six, the legislative intent of the AEAF was to add new resources on top of the city's current levels of funding. We recognize that the city is on track by continuing its general fund investments in RAC and should continue to do so. Happily, the city has continued to provide that steady funding to RAC. Lastly, from our 2015 recommendations, the AOC to work with RAC to create a more comprehensive way to track how different AEAF tax year dollars are used in any given RAC fiscal year. This will continue to be an ongoing need as the revenue division becomes even better equipped to collect taxes from late and non-compliant filers. Part of that problem, that issue, was the fact that the arts tax was a calendar year and RAC worked on a fiscal year. So there was a lot of reconciling that had to be done. This has been accomplished, but there will still be an ongoing effort to simplify reporting to the extent possible. But we have come a long way. So on to our recommendations this year. Number one, RAC and the AOC should further develop the measurement of the hours of arts instruction taking place in the schools, which is eventually to be included in the school district's yearly data submission to the AOC. Two, RAC to continue its arts coordination work with an eye to the quality of arts education in the schools and to collaboratively work with the school districts towards developing metrics for the evaluation of outcomes. Three, the AOC should further track arts instruction taking place in middle school and high school by breaking data down into individual schools as it does for K through 5. Four, a suggestion that school districts consider providing an annual state of the arts, which Nancy referred to earlier, an annual state of the arts report so that there can be a better understanding of what takes place within the districts relating to arts education. Five, City Council should approve the proposed resolution to engage outside collection agencies to begin a collection process for delinquent taxpayers or at least 1 year overdue in the amount of $100 or more, with a final demand letter to be sent allowing the taxpayer at least 30 days to respond. Six, City Council should approve the proposed resolution to direct the Revenue Division to report on options for the permanent solution to the 5% five-year average expense cap on administration of the arts tax. Lastly, the city should continually be messaging the positive results of the arts tax and dispel misinformation as it arises. So a few last words moving forward. We've talked about this before, but I'm going to repeat this again because it's really important. So qualitative impacts. As we have stated in previous years, while the committee's charge is to oversee and review the expenditures and outcomes of the arts fund, we continue to strongly believe that our task goes beyond just a quantitative measuring. The word outcome in the code language is not fully defined, but we feel it should include a qualitative evaluation as well. We want to look at questions such as, what are the ultimate impacts on children? Are children doing better in school? Are children doing better socially? Do we see an effect on graduation rates and student attendance? Do we have qualified and diverse arts teachers, not just more teachers? Has there been an effect on parent involvement in the schools? Have arts institutions been able to open their doors to more underserved communities? Are our multicultural communities more engaged with the arts? Working together with the RAC school coordination team, arts teachers, and the school districts, the AOC will continue to dive deeper into the questions of quality and outcomes. As always, we welcome input and suggestions from all sources. Thank you, and we will entertain any questions or comments.
Hey, great report. Questions?
And let me kick it off. This is a superb report, and there's a lot to process here. I'd like to go to your recommendations for 2016. And just want to ask you a couple questions off them. First, the suggestion that districts consider providing an annual state of the arts report. That would be a written report that would be submitted both to your committee and to the city council, or how do you envision that being transmitted?
You know, I don't think we've thought it through to that extent. There has to be more discussion about it, but we feel that certainly to the parents, I think certainly a report that's public, so the AOC and the community can understand what is happening in the schools arts education-wise, not just the fact that there are X number of teachers, but we as a committee don't really know what is going on at a day-to-day basis. And we're trying to understand that better. And I think that's kind of our general sense of it.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent suggestion. You know, when we do evaluations of bureau directors, we first ask that they draft their own evaluation and so that we can work off of a document. And having the various school districts document what they believe are the successes and celebrate those successes and communicate with parents and teachers and students and then the community, I think, is...
Yeah, I just want to say, Commissioner, that it's a suggestion. From day one, we didn't want to be seen as the police over the school district. Everything we've tried to do has been collaborative, and we've worked well together, and as we developed our metrics, they were very helpful. So we've worked together. So this is a suggestion. Yep. It's going to involve more conversation as to how it's actually done going forward.
Two other quick points. Your seventh suggestion is continually message the positive results of the arts tax and dispel misinformation as it arises. I don't think any of us can think of anyone who has been more vigilant in that category than you. Continuously submitting pieces to local newspapers to respond to editorials and to news stories. So thank you for your vigilance. And I think you've done an outstanding job highlighting the successes. And I think in some ways, because of your position in the community and that you're not an elected official, you probably have in some ways more credibility in making that case than the electeds. I'm not saying that to just puff you up, but when your pieces have made a difference, and we want to thank you for being so attentive and getting the word out. The final thing I wanted to ask you, since this is your last year, and you've specifically called out that we need to appoint some new members. In our different boards and commissions, we have different rules about how we appoint people. So one of our newest boards, the Portland Utility Board, we actually have delegated to them the responsibility of identifying candidates for membership. That's not the typical way we do it, but we have lot. What has been, in your tenure, Stan, the most effective way to collaboratively identify and recruit talent for membership?
Well, I think in the past year, I've actually done some recruiting myself just through communications from people who showed an interest. And some of the new members that came on this year had contacted me about various questions. And we would sit down, have coffee, talk about what they're concerned about. And then I'd say, hey, how would you like to raise your hand and be a volunteer? But that is not the best way to do it, because that's a very small reach out. I feel there has to be a broader reach out so we can reach across the entire community. And I think there is a process through the city whereby put out a request for applications. I've seen that in many bureaus, and we haven't done that in the past year or two. I think we did it early in the second year when Jenny was still on your staff, but I think we have to get back to a greater outreach effort, because otherwise I wouldn't want the committee to be composed of friends of mine or people that I happen to know. That's not the way it should be.
Well, this sounds like something that we could get some guidance from Oni, Commissioner Fritz, because this is something that she's passionate about, identifying new talent, canvassing the whole community, and figuring out how we support this goal of recruiting and appointing new members.
Well, I just want to say, having been on the Community Involvement Committee for the Portland Plan and Comp Plan, which was adopted yesterday, there will be an ongoing, and I'm changing areas here, but it's similar. There will be an ongoing community involvement committee, and I understand the process for that is going to be done through ONI. And I think, as you say, I think that's what we should be looking at for the AOC as well. I leave that to you guys to figure out.
Other questions or comments for this panel?
Mayor, procedural question?
Sure.
We're going to find out whether we have people who signed up to testify. And the question, I guess, is do you want to vote to accept the report now or continue with the two other items and come back? I don't know what the availability of our panelists.
I think we should accept the report after testimony and then see if we want to proceed.
Carla, has anyone signed up?
No one signed up, but and you do have an amendment on this item.
Sorry, you do have what?
There's an amendment for this, the AOC Metrics Committee Analysis Year 3. That was submitted in the Tuesday memo.
That's an amendment to the report?
To the report, yes.
Okay.
I'll move the amendment.
All right. Second. Is there a second? So let's first take a vote on adopting the amendment, and then we'll see if there's anyone else that wants to testify.
Bish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And is there anyone else that wants to speak on this report before we take action on it? If not, a motion please to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fish.
I got out of my deathbed today to attend this hearing.
Let's hope not.
Because I didn't want to miss a chance to thank each of you for the work that you do. And as Stan knows, in prior years, there was a little more drama around this. And we hope the Court of Appeals decision has decided the question. I don't want to encourage any further appeals, but there's at least one more rung of the ladder that theoretically someone can go. But we have a perfect record in terms of courts addressing the legal question that was brought about whether it's a poll tax or a head tax. And I think given the resounding, very strong decision of the Court of Appeals, I think we now feel like we're on very strong ground going forward. I was talking to Deborah Cafori recently, and she expressed sort of an irritation about some of the criticisms of the arts tax. And she's very clear about celebrating the benefits of the arts tax to our community. And when you think about it, 40,000 children in our community now experience arts education at a much higher level than they did before during formative years. And Jeff is here from RAC, and the kind of companion piece of data that we get presented with every year is the enormous, is the wonderful and inspiring data of the Right Brain Initiative, which keeps documenting at a very high level that arts education impacts all of children's development, that kids exposed to the arts do well in all the disciplines. And there's something about stimulating the right brain that just benefits kids in every discipline. And so we have a funding mechanism that is not perfect, that is providing children with something that is essential and that all of us, say over the age of 40, remember a day when it was part of the curriculum and not considered extra like PE and other things, which now, because of budget cuts, are almost considered luxury items. And the aggregate data in the nation says that children are more successful in schools where there is robust arts education. And that's separate and apart from the possibility that some child exposed to the arts early is going to become a painter, a singer, a musician, a designer, is going to have a creative impulse that catapults their life forward. So, Stan, you've been really vigilant about defending and celebrating the success of the arts tax, and this is your last year. And I know we'll have another occasion to embarrass you. But this is what you've done is real public service. It's not glamorous. It's long hours. It has been controversial, but I think a lot of the credibility of this tax and this program is due to the work of you and the committee. So we owe you a great debt for your service, and thank you. And to Stan and to Craig and to Nancy, thank you for your presentations today, and thank you for really one of the better reports that we get every year in terms of clarity. I must say on the PowerPoint, I have trouble reading the tiny print, but it is in a bigger font in the written materials. And it's very thorough. And thanks to all of your committee members for the work you do, which has been vital. And I want to close by thanking the young people that are here today. We love it when young people come to City Hall for lots of reasons. We hope that some of you someday think about sitting in these chairs.
They did before you came in.
Was it me in particular or just me filling the seat? We've got a council here. Everyone here is slightly over the age of 50, so there will be some vacancies in the next 10 to 15 years when you are of age. And we hope you consider public service. But to the young people, this entire effort is about giving you exposure to the arts. And when you come to us and you showcase what you've learned so beautifully, and you're so articulate, and you're so poised, and you're such great ambassadors for what we're doing, you bring it all full circle. Because at the end of the day, you are the reason that we have an arts tax. and you are the people that we have great hope for in the future. So to the young people that were here and the loving, caring adults in their lives that brought them here, congratulations. You really cheered up this room today. And to all of our friends who've supported this effort, thank you. And Stan, we look forward to working with you both on the recommendations and on a more robust recruitment program so you have a full complement. Thank you all for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Thank you for the great report. Thank you for your service, Stan. And it really is a well-organized and putting the small font aside, it's a very well-organized report in terms of the information presented. Very very clean and easy to follow. So thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you so much for your work, and thank you for the work that you've done over the past several years to get this organized and off the ground so that this routine report is now routine, and you've done a lot of work to make sure that citizen oversight of this large amount of money has been diligent and that the people of Portland can know that we have spent it appropriately for the promises and kept the promises that we made. Over $20 million so far dispersed to schools. That is something that we need to remember when people say about how the city doesn't support all of the school districts enough. Well, yes, we do. And maybe we could do more, but we already do a lot. And I appreciate both the effort that it took to get this passed and now the implementation of it. Thanks to my neighbors and others who are here, and just thanks for the note cards. That's very nice of you. I feel like I should make a note card out to say thank you for the note cards. But it's after school. School is out, so just take my thanks for that. I understand that you're working on a definition of certified arts teachers and that the intergovernmental agreements may be amended to make sure that charter schools specifically respond to that. Thank you for that detail. My future daughter-in-law works at the Ivy School, which is one of the two schools that was recently brought in and made clear that they also get coverage. So I have personal knowledge that you certainly look at the details, and that warms my heart. Thank you, everybody who's here. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you. This report, I think, is a chance for us, obviously, to see how we are with respect to this particular public policy and where we're going, and a look back at where we've been. And I think it says a lot about where we are now. You know, I ran for this office on the same election as the arts tax and campaigned for both. When I first took office, there was still some grumbling from the, 35% of Portland voters who didn't vote for the arts tax, but a very large majority, of course, did. And that grumbling, with the exception, I think, of a single editorial writer who seems to inhabit his own universe on this subject, maybe others too, the negative noise has gone away. But what are we left with? First, did we give the voters what they expected? They expected significant dollars flowing to the arts and particularly to schools. Check. That's what's happened. And that it would be new effort by the school districts, not backfilling against what they were already doing. Your report demonstrates that that's the case and that the ratio of arts teachers has radically changed to the good because of this reliable source of funding for a key educational component. The voters expected that a small percentage of the money would go to overhead and administration. Check. It's true. Whether it's 5%, 7% is relatively inconsequential, again, when you look at the overall effort. People expected that the tax collection would be regularized and easy and that the city council would work out any problems in the tax, which over the course of a couple of years, we did. And they expected that there'd be continued real citizen oversight, not just the elected officials, not just the folks who work for the city, but citizens would be looking over the shoulder of government here and saying, is this doing what it's supposed to do? And you have done all that. So I think this is a great opportunity to celebrate. And as your last recommendation emphasizes, keep trying to get the good news out of how much of a success this is. And I think if anybody could hear both the ukulele performance or meet the young women who are here today, I think that would end any further argument among those who argue. Finally, again, ladies, thank you for these. My daughter is 29 and getting married in New York this summer. But the reason she's in New York is that about your age, she decided that she was going to be an artist. She decided she was going to be a dancer. And so she started dancing. and went to college and majored in modern dance, and then went off to New York to live her dream of being a modern dancer in New York. So as the parent of at least a couple of artists, but Caitlin in particular, I'm going to send her one of these note cards and tell her about you. So thanks for being here today. Aye. Let's take a break.
May I add just one quick note about this report going national today? So this morning, I was sending the report out to all the respective school board members in the six districts.
Yeah, good.
And then I got one board member sent me back an email and said, hey, I don't think you meant to send this to me. I'm on the board of the Centennial School District in a town in Minnesota. But she added, you're doing some great work in Oregon.
That's
so
nice
I
to hear.
I want to leave with that.
Yes, we are. Well, thank you all. Well, we'd love to take a photo with our students that are here. Sorry? I know we're gonna take a break and take a photo and then move on to our other two items, I think. Aren't we?
These are both connected with the arts tax.
No, but they might have to leave.
Oh. The resolution.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we get the young people up for a photograph?
Please.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks so much.